This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Joanna Fortune's with us once again. Good afternoon, Joanna.
Afternoon, Sean.
My 8-year-old girl is in a small country school, and there are two other girls in her class. Up to this point, they've been firm friends, seem to get along very well. A couple of weeks ago, I was chatting to my daughter, and she said something mocking about one of the girls. For the sake of ease, I'm going to say there's girl one and girl two, along the lines of, she's always copying me in girl one. I called her out on it and said, that's unkind, and how would you like if it was said to her? Yesterday, my husband was driving our daughter and girl one home from after school activity, and they were passing a small whiteboard back and forth that I have in the back of the car, passing notes to each other as such and reading them out loud. It started off innocent, but then girl one read out a note from my daughter saying, I hate girl two, and they were giggling. He was horrified and told them both that that's not okay. I spoke to her later about it to try to understand what's happening, and she defended herself, saying it's not what we think, that the three of them tease each other in school, saying they hate each other, but they don't mean it, and it's just being sassy and all part of their games. I even said that if it's true for her to say it behind the back of girl two makes it more like bullying, and she's absolutely never to treat anyone like that. I said I don't like the sound of the game they're playing. It's very unkind and could be hurtful even if she doesn't think it is. Aside from these two incidents, I'm not aware of anything else going on, and nothing has been flagged to me by the school or other parents that there's any issue. But I'm very concerned. There seems to be a changing attitude towards girl two. I suffered at the hands of this type of meanness in school, so I don't know if I'm overly sensitive and jumping to conclusions. But the idea of my own daughter behaving like this is horrifying to me. She's always been very shy, very sweet girl, and I would never have thought she was capable of being cruel to a friend. But I definitely don't want to bury my head in the sand and let this become a problem that grows. Lately, she's been a little more defiant and cheekier to us, her parents. Initially, I didn't think too much of it, as I thought it was becoming a little more confident and assertive, at least. But now I'm wondering if we've accidentally encouraged her newfound sassiness. I'm not sure how to navigate this.
I mean, they're actually doing really well.
Yeah.
Do you know, so far in terms of immediately catching it, naming it as not okay, doing that whole how would it feel if this girl heard it or if she was to say it about you, like they're handling it, both parents, really well, and keep doing that. There is something here at the end. You know, there's nothing wrong with a child being confident and assertive. Like we want that.
Yeah.
But defiance and cheekiness or sassiness, that's not confidence and assertiveness. Like that's something else. So, you know, don't blur the two of those. And I think, like Sean, as parents, you often think, oh my goodness, what would I do if my child was bullied? But it isn't really something we sit and go, what would I do if my child was the bully? Mm. You know, and that's a much, like, that's very hard to deal with in the moment. And especially as this parent has experience of being picked on or excluded themselves. So you want to make sure, because this is going to be very activating for you, that how you respond to her is about her behavior and not your experience.
Yeah.
And again, I say that because that would be very easy to start happening. The key here is boundaries, strong boundaries, calm, clear, consistent, but strong boundaries around the sass. Okay, calling it out, that's not okay, we don't speak to each other like that in this family, do you want to try that again, giving her a do-over to correct her own behavior, and then moving towards empathy building and even taking and making a kindness pledge, which will help around the friendship thing. When you were reading this, it just struck me, this is a small school, and the letter says there are two other girls in her class. So I'm now thinking, is there just three girls in the class?
Yeah, I was wondering about that too.
And it's possible, depending on how small the school
possible.
Is, it is possible.
I took it to mean that maybe there were three friends in this particular class.
Yeah.
But it's hard to know.
They are at that age. We spoke about this in the last couple of weeks, I think, about friendships and how patterns change around particular ages. And they are slap bang in that stage of where we do see, particularly with girls between 7 and 9 years old, changes to their friendships. We see some movement, somebody's in, somebody's out, they begin to settle into these cluster groups. And sometimes you're still very lovely little girl. I do want to emphasize that because you're like, oh, she's a lovely little girl. She wouldn't do this. Lovely little girls are capable of making bad choices too.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean they're not lovely little girls because they are not their behavior. This is a little girl making some bad choices and she can be redirected back onto the path of loveliness, to put it that way. But it is also possible that there is some queen bee energy emerging here out of this little triad, that one is beginning to push herself forward as, I'm the cool one, I'm the strong one, and I'll decide which of you are in and which of you is out.
It's
not an uncommon dynamic to see, and I'm not minimizing it because it's deeply unpleasant for the girl too in this scenario, who I guarantee might be laughing along with what is being described as a game, but is no way enjoying being the one on the note board or whatever it is. And this is what this sounds like. It certainly sounds unkind. It does sound mean. And I'd like them to catch it at this stage before it does escalate into something that would be described as bullying. Now, it does sound as well that she's created this game as a justification for the behavior rather than it being a game anyone else would recognize as a game.
Yeah.
So again, calling her out on that, that's not a game that we play. Games are about people having fun, everyone involved enjoying it. And it's not nice, no matter how you say it, it's not nice to say things like that about somebody else. You're also going to have to build empathy in really practical ways. It's about modeling and using a lot of feelings language at home, actually sitting down to her and talking about feelings at her age. One of the things I'd like to do is take a feeling and literally say to her, okay, sadness, what's a behavior? What's one way we do sadness? Okay, where is it in our bodies? What's a thing we would say, a phrase, words that we would say about it? And what would help with that? Okay, switch, another feeling. What's the action? What are you doing around these? And have her think about feelings in terms of words, thoughts, actions, and scenarios.
Yeah.
And getting her to really relate to it. I just think it might be no harm to proactively get in there and scaffold up empathy skills. And it's not that she's not capable of that. I imagine she absolutely is, because she is hearing them when they're calling her out on this stuff. But I would keep on top of it.
Yeah.
Because I think you're catching it now from your daughter, but girl two may well be going home to her parents and saying, I'm having a tough time with this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in a small country school, even if there are three girls or more girls and they're a little triad in the group, everyone knows everyone. And so just to kind of keep this at the level you want, which is kids are able to play and be playful together. They won't all be best friends. They're not supposed to. They will have preferences amongst their friends. That's perfectly okay. But it isn't okay to exclude somebody or be consciously mean to them. And you really will have to spell that out.
Yeah. Does it make a difference if, you know, the queen bee thing, whether the queen bee is the 8-year-old we're being told about or if it's our friend girl one? Does that change the dynamic?
I mean,
at
it
all?
Doesn't really, because in that kind, you're right. If it's girl one who's got more of that kind of leadership aspect to her, and this little girl, let's call her now girl three, is actually, you know, trying to postulate in a way that endears her to girl one and says that, well, you know, like me, let's all, both of us gang up and go. It's still the same outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But just for the daughter here, is a difference in the sense that she might have to kind of stand up to girl one in
well,
a way and say,
you know,
that's
and if
mean,
that's the case,
you know,
the best way to do that with her, you know, it is about finding out who came up with that game you guys are playing that you're all allegedly enjoying, but who came up with it? And play it now with me. Let's you and I play it together. So you would say something and then actually saying, oh, I don't like that at all.
Yeah,
and actually playing
actually.
It out with her.
And I wonder, would she actually
and
be asked
see how,
to do
where
that?
Would she go with it? So, and even if she does need to stand up, and all of our kids at some point of their lives are going to have to stand up to somebody or on behalf of somebody, be it themselves or somebody else, role playing that out with them is the best way to get them to just have little phrases that will come to them in that moment, because it's hard, you know, when you're in that moment of what'll I do or say. But if you've played it out with them, they have it.
Yeah. Actually, a listener says, I took it to mean there are only three girls in our class. My daughter's in a similar situation. Only five in her class.
Yeah, that's how I read this, as there's only three girls. And in lots of ways, I mean, that ups the ante a bit, because one cannot be excluded. But it also creates this expectation on these three different little girls that you must be friends with each other.
Yeah, it does.
You know, in any other school where there are maybe 12 little girls, that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Right. I'm looking for some advice about my 6-year-old daughter, who has recently started saying she feels like a boy and now wants to cut her hair short. I want to support her, not dismiss her feelings, but I'm sure how to respond at this age or what it might mean long term. How can I handle this in a way that's supportive while also making sure I'm doing the right thing as a parent?
Yeah, you can almost hear the panic in this.
Yes.
And the first thing I'm going to say is, don't panic and move away from this. What does it mean in the long term? Because honestly, you don't know. I don't know. They don't know. Nobody knows. And instead, meet your child as they are in this moment. Okay. And I think, just to flag though, Sean, you know, this child is six. It's very, very common for children this age to explore gender roles.
Yeah.
You see it in their play, and, you know, I'm this person and that person, and they change voices and posture and body movement and language. It's very, very normal for them to explore. And one of the things as parents we need to do is allow and facilitate that exploration in whatever guise it looks like. You know, let her dress in whatever clothes she wants to wear, whatever she's comfortable wearing or doing, what kinds of activities. And around that is avoiding stereotypes, that there isn't a particular type of hair for a girl or a boy.
Yeah.
There isn't a particular type of activity or clothes. I do remember when my own child was very young, you know, that kind of toddler stage, I predominantly bought clothes from the so-called boys section in the stores because they were looser, roomier, and had reinforced knees and elbows. And I was like, yeah, I'm just getting by. Those clothes are just clothes. So we have to challenge those kinds of stereotypes. Girls can have short hair. And, you know, with the hair thing, sometimes it's sensory, you know, not liking the feeling of hair on the back of your neck, or just looking at who around you has short hair. It happens to be the boys. Oh, therefore, I want to be a boy now.
Yeah.
Because I just want short hair. And hair is just hair. You know, I know it matters a lot, and people can get very, oh, I don't want her to cut off her hair. It will grow back. And if this is something that would help her feel more comfortable and would help her feel more at ease at this stage of development, give that real consideration.
Yeah.
Okay. I do also think, though, at this age, feelings will change. There is a fluidity to feelings. They'll change a number of times. That's why I really want these parents to stay in the now moment with this and not be trying to project what does this mean long term and how far ahead should we get on this. Absolutely not, just in the moment.
Yeah,
and facilitate her curiosity, what I would say is natural developmental exploration, and avoiding stereotypes about hair, clothes and activities.
Yeah, and she is only six, a way to go. I can empathise with the parents in this situation. This is the first question that came in. We had a similar behaviour with our daughter a few years ago. It transpired she was really upset or struggling in school and was acting it out in her friend group. But I did feel a bit of shame around it, which I feel bad admitting. She's doing better now, but it was a struggle.
But I'm really glad she's doing well. And it's such a good example that there is overt behaviour. What our kids do and say, what any of us do or say, is always underpinned by underlying physical and emotional stories. So you're trying to get beneath this, but getting her to play it out with you is what gives you a deeper insight. Because if you just question that child, like, why are you doing that? And why are you doing this? They get very defensive in response. But if you come at it with authentic curiosity and playfulness, you're going to get a deeper understanding.
Yeah. And she may not. And an 8-year-old can't give you an explanation of that, really.
Not directly, like, well, pull up a chair now till I explain.
Yeah. Most adults can't do this. We have an 11-year-old daughter who's very independent. I'm not sure if I'm being overprotective. She's our eldest, but we like to supervise her closely and take her to and from her activities. Recently, she's been asked to walk with her friend to her dance class, which is a short walk from our home. We've said no and insisted that either I or her dad walk with her. It seems like a big deal for her, and she's getting increasingly frustrated about it and sometimes a bit upset. I'm not sure if we should just let her go with her pal. She has to cross a dangerous road to the class. What do you advise? I'm wondering if a compromise, like letting her walk to the shop down the road with her pal or having me walk a safe distance behind her, will work. Do I need to let go a bit?
I mean, you probably need to let go a bit. I think all of us do, but it doesn't mean it's easy. And I'm always a fan of a compromise.
Yeah.
Okay, but it needs to be meaningful, like a true compromise that does come at least some way towards what she wants as well. Otherwise, it's just you making a new rule. You know, it's not a compromise. Safety is the consideration here, you know, along with maturity and trust. You know, these are the key cons. I don't know this little girl. So as parents, you've got to weigh this up. Now, if this busy road, this crossing this dangerous road, the fact that it's called a dangerous road makes me feel that's not the safest thing to do.
Yeah.
So you would definitely want to prep with her a lot. You know, when you go, there'd be very directive around, we stand here in from the curb, because if something comes around the corner, you've got to wait for the light to change. Even if the road is clear, you wait and you have to go through that road safety with her. It might be about starting a bit smaller than crossing the dangerous road, though. That's quite a big leap from we bring her everywhere to now she's doing that. Maybe have her walk to a nearby shop, or you could walk with her as far as the road crossing. Stand on one side, see her cross that road, and then let her go the rest of the way. That's one option. Or you could say, I'm going to walk in parallel on the opposite side of the road so you can walk with your friend and chat, but I'm going to be... That just sounds a little bit more hovering.
Yeah,
but it might work as
slightly
a first
creepy
step.
As well.
Because what you'll get to see is, how are they together?
Yeah.
And, you know, without you saying anything. So you could offer that to her, give her the choice, you know, but I think some kind of a way that you're being flexible. And the reason I'm saying that is, you know, as she moves in, let's say she's fifth class, she might be fourth, but she's, you know, at that stage of school. But as she's moving into those older stages of school and towards 12 years old, getting them ready for secondary school is going to place a huge amount of demand on them about independence. And you absolutely won't and shouldn't be there to do everything for them at that stage. So when we can see small, practical, tangible things that they can do now under our somewhat guidance and supervision, take those opportunities. They're good opportunities to practice independence.
Yeah, absolutely. Since my... Here's a battle for everyone, for the ages. Since my son moved into fifth class, he's getting a lot more homework. And as the school year has gone on, it's become a real battle to get him to do it. He is in dire form the minute he comes out of school, as he knows he has to start homework. Then I have to sit with him during homework when he has several meltdowns saying he can't do it or I'm stupid. It can take over an hour to do it with me sitting over his shoulder. This seems to get worse every time they have a break. So it first came up after October midterm, eventually settled, then came up again after Christmas break and the last midterm. I'm now dreading the return after Easter break, as I'm worried it will get at worse then. It's very upsetting. It's impacting my other child and can ruin our family routine. He can actually do the homework. He just doesn't like it and finds it boring and gives out the entire time. Last year was very different. He had less homework, seemed to enjoy it more, and he seemed more relaxed at school. I have spoken to the teacher and she was pretty dismissive. She said his work is good. He is fine in class and all kids can struggle with homework. It's just part of life. What should I do?
Well, I'm going to consider matching the teacher's attitude here and approach it in the way of, well, sure, look, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's doing grand. If this is something all kids struggle with, which isn't true. But if that's the approach, I would take it that he's going to do a maximum at this age and stage of school, a maximum of 30 minutes homework a day.
Yeah.
And I just think kids, you know, I'm not a fan of homework, so I don't even need to get into that. But
well, now, you see, that's a curious thing. This, I've been doing this slot for 22 years and you and all your predecessors in the slot, nobody recommends homework.
No.
Yeah.
Who wants to do a day's work and go home and keep working?
Yeah.
And yet we do that to children.
Yeah.
And place that demand on them. And I know people are going to say, oh, Joanna, look, they're in secondary school, they're going to get homework. And that's a way of kind of structuring revision and study. But they are older then. And I'm okay with a bit of homework, say sixth class, but it should never be more than 20, 30 minutes. And if it is, I wouldn't do it.
Mm.
Honestly, just stop it. So when he comes in, Make sure I have these sand timers for my work, because the kids I work with, when I say we've 10 minutes left in our session, I may as well say 2 weeks.
Yes.
It means nothing. So I say when all the sand hits the bottom, it's time for us to stop for today. So I have 15 minute timers, say, and they're big and they're, I've had them forever, so yeah, they're durable, okay? Mm. And I would turn something like that, because it's visual, which is better than setting an alarm on your phone, because it beeps and the time is gone before you know. Mm. And when you get in, he gets 15 minutes to snack, chill out, play, exhale, basically. Mm. Then there's one turn of that timer and he sits for 15 solid minutes and does homework. However much is done. No yeah. battle, just however much. Then you turn the timer again and he gets a play break. Movement break, get out there, move. And then a final turn, if it's needed, and 15 more minutes. And then whatever is done at that stage, you sign the homework journal. That's how much we got done in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Because if he's fine, he's fine. And if the teacher is casual or dismissive about homework,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, of course, she's saying he's doing well in school. And I suppose because parents kind of think if they don't do the homework, that somehow they'll fall behind.
I mean, I think, look, if you were to force me to say, is there any benefit to homework? As a parent, it does help me to know what they're doing in school.
Yeah.
But I can
yeah.
also ask my child to, what did you do today or what did yeah. you learn? But I do get to flick through something and see what's going on and practice a few spellings and, you know, things like that. But 30 minutes, Sean, is a lot of time for kids who
yeah.
really benefit from playing to process all the learning of their day so they can assimilate that learning. They've also got activities to be engaged with, which is about pro-social gains and lots of other, you know, benefits for them, and are equally important as school is. And then they've got time with their family to spend. Those things matter. And if homework is disrupting those things, then yes, I would question the value of doing the homework over those.
Yeah, also as well, it can, you know, it's a bit like ramen over eaten food, that the homework itself turns
creates
into
so much tension between yeah. parents and children, and there's no need for it. So as a parent, don't get pulled into, it's not you didn't set the homework, you're not the one driving it. You encourage effort over outcome. And if he sits now for 15 meaningful minutes, not 15 minutes doodling
watching
or telling
sand,
you this is silly or whatever it is, but if he gives it that and you're saying to him, two turns of this is all you're doing.
Yeah.
And then let's see, can you get it all done in that time? Don't say whatever you haven't done, you don't have to do, because that just incentivizes
yeah.
cruising those 15 minutes and not doing it. But just say, let's see if we can get it done in that time, because we're busy and we'll be doing stuff after that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Stay calm about the whole thing. Joanna.
Absolutely.
Joanna, thanks a million.
Hi, Sean.
As ever.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.